Turning in God's Word to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to pick up the reading from verse number 19. And here we have the night of the arrest of Jesus, and prior to his arrest, he is going to commemorate and to observe the Passover meal and then institute the Lord's Supper. And so picking up the reading from verse 19 of Luke 22. And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt did thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that is written, that must be yet accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out, and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And behold, in an agony he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Amen. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. And our text is found in verse number 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we're making steady progress through the Ten Commandments, as are recorded here in Exodus chapter 20. We've already looked at the first four, which describe our duties primarily before God. And we might think of that as being our vertical responsibilities. We've had, you shall not worship any other gods before me. We thought about that in terms of worshipping God exclusively. We thought about not making idols. And we thought there about how we are to worship God correctly. We're not to take the name of God in vain. And we thought how we're to worship God carefully. And then we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we thought about that in terms of worshipping God regularly. But now the focus changes to our duties and our responsibilities that are more horizontal in nature, our relationships with our fellow man. And that is perhaps a rough way in which the Ten Commandments have been in the past divided. If we were to look back at Matthew 22, we have a lawyer coming to Jesus, asking a question with the intention of tripping him up in his words. And that's something which lawyers can be very good at. And the question was this: which is the greatest commandment in the law? And so Jesus is being tempted to rank the commandments. But instead he says this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the law can be separated into, or condensed rather, into these two things: loving God with every part of our being and loving our neighbour as ourselves. And verse 12 will quite clearly come into that latter part: loving our neighbour as ourselves. So we're thinking about this fifth commandment: honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. First thing to consider is perhaps a question that we have, or perhaps a little question mark that's in our mind, as to why this command is put first in this first section regarding our duty to other men. If we were to go and look at all the cases that are brought before the courts each week, it would be a harrowing experience. And you would read and you would have to consider some of the most dreadful things that men and women can do to each other. Perhaps you may be thinking about some of the murders that you would read or you would see, or the assaults, the violence, thefts, or whatever it may be. Perhaps when you go and look at those things, you perhaps hope that the perpetrators of such wicked crimes will receive the rewards that are in keeping with the crimes that they have committed. And there can often be an accusation that the courts are too lenient. It doesn't seem fair that somebody could kill somebody and yet be released a few years later. And if we were to rank crimes or put laws in some kind of order of importance or seriousness, I suspect that the order that we came up with would be pretty similar. But in so doing, how many of us would naturally put verse 12, honouring our mother and father, or father and mother, as being top of that list? And yet this is what is done here in the Ten Commandments. We may not even have it in our top ten. And there can be a temptation to think that this commandment is not as serious as the others. After all, what follows in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That seems to be the ultimate. And so we may well agree that worshipping God exclusively, not making idols, is critically important. We might say not killing, not stealing is important, but honouring father and mother, well, it's important, but not so much. But it is a very, very serious commandment. Because here, connected with this command, is a consequence for honouring our parents. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. When you think about all the commands that follow and all of the sins and the crimes that spring out of breaking of those commands, command 6 down to the command 10, so often what you find is that command 5 has been decimated already. We would seldom find a case where there has been loving parents and obedient children, and then they go on to commit murder or adultery and things like that. And in so many cases, and we can't say that that's what happens in all cases, but certainly in many of the cases, breakdown in the family, a lack of respect and honour to parents, will result in devastating effects in those children and in society as a whole. If children aren't going to respect their parents, they're not going to respect their teacher. They don't respect their parents, they're not going to be too concerned about the authority of the police. They're not going to be too concerned about what the judiciary might say. And God, in his wisdom, has ordered it and designed it this way, that we have this structure and this authority within the family. God has designed us, and he's sovereign over us. And whilst we might dismiss this command, ignore this command, even perhaps ridicule this command, God does not. When we are born into this world, the first relationship that we will ever forge and ever experience is that of our parents. And in many ways, that will shape all other relationships. You will find a child who's respectful to others, hardworking, kind, diligent, it's likely that that has been as a result of the parents training that child and the child honouring its parents. And likewise, the opposite can be true as well. But this command does carry serious consequences if it's broken. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21, we have an example of what happens to a child, now grown up, who is dishonouring their father, their mother. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gates of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. So if a child, a son in this case, was rebellious and stubborn, didn't heed any kind of discipline, and that had continued over and over again, his parents were to bring him to the elders, and then the men of the city, a civic duty was laid upon them to punish that son. Well, it's not just this quite serious and sobering consequence of this sin that comes up in the scriptures, But in Old Testament and in New, the idea of honouring father and mother comes right the way through it. Turn to Exodus 21 and verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Very much backing up what we've just read from Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21. And then some other sample references. These aren't exhaustive. You could go to a concordance and you would find a whole host more. But just for illustrative purposes, Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Again, the idea of respecting, listening to father and mother. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And then coming to the New Testament, we have a couple of verses that are quite familiar. Perhaps we're able to quote them to children that we know. But Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then come back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Another clear direction regarding obeying our parents. But also we can't miss verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we have there the way in which throughout all the scripture, honouring mother and father comes up. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, whilst he's here upon earth, we find that he tackles the Pharisees and scribes, and he will use the breaking of this fifth commandment to highlight and expose their hypocrisy, their inconsistencies, and the emptiness of their religion. Mark 7, verse 7. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? Similar question to what we thought on the Lord's Day. That came up as we were thinking about the Syrophoenician woman. And so it comes up time and again, why do your disciples not wash according to the tradition? Emphasis on the word of tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands. And Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. So in other words, condensing that down, they were promoting their own teaching at the expense of what God has commanded. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honour thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So the Pharisees are told by Jesus that they have rejected the commandment of God in order to keep their own traditions, and Jesus gives proof of that corruption of the law by citing their use of that thing called Korban. Korban, it's the only place it appears in Mark 7. And Moses had instructed God's people to honor their father and their mother. But the Pharisees twisted that. And so what they did was they believed they could give money to the temple, their gift, their korban, to the temple in lieu of helping their parents who were in need. And so whatever money might have been used to provide for their aging parents could be dedicated to the temple treasury, and instead saying it's korban. It's therefore exempting a person from the responsibilities that were due to his parents. And so a legitimate offering, this korban, was taken and used to defraud the parents. And so the Pharisees could look good as they went to the temple, and they were really robbing from what was required for the parents. So this commandment of honouring parents is very serious. But what does it mean to honour? Well, by honour, the dictionary defines honour as being regarding something with great respect or high esteem, but also describes honour as something regarded as a rare opportunity or bringing pride and pleasure or a privilege. So when honouring parents, it's essential that we show them respect, accept their authority, obey them, and appreciate them. And this is God's design. This is God's plan for this world. This is God's plan for family. Well, the question may come, do I have to obey my parents in all things? Do I always have to give honour to my parents? Are there exceptions? Well, what's the answer? Is it yes, we must honour, or no, we may not? Well, the answer is both yes and no. We are always to honour our parents, but there will be times when the principle we have in Acts 5 comes into force, where we must obey God rather than men. That was particularly applied in civil matters when Peter and John were commanded not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also is true here in regard to our parents. So if our parents were telling us to do something which was contrary to God's word, then we must rather obey God rather than men. There's also a way in which authority does not reign supreme with the parents. So, for example, in marriage, we're told a man shall leave his mother and his father and then shall cleave to his wife. The authority aspect is now no longer applicable. We have some examples where children did not do what their parents told them to do or went against them. You have Jonathan and Saul. Saul had told Jonathan that if he saw David, to let him know, and he did not let him know, because Jonathan knew that Saul, his father, would kill David. Remember Gideon? He doesn't seem to be honouring his mother and father too much when he's breaking down his father's idols. And yet we would say that what he did was right and correct. But there is a sense in which, even if we have to go against them, even if we have to disobey what our parents would have us to do, there is a sense in which we must always honour them with love, with respect, and appreciation for all that they have done. So if we're not able to do what they want us to do, and it's legitimate, then we must do so respectfully and kindly. And the final thing I want us to look at is that passage we read just a few moments ago from Luke 22. Because in Luke 22, we have the ultimate of honouring the Father. And we have that with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get to this point, even with Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and his presumed father, Joseph, we find how he was obedient. He was respectful. We find that there's no mention of his sin because he had no sin. And so we see the way in which he went about his life. But coming to Luke 22. And so we are at the Passover meal. And Jesus has gone out into the garden. Judas has just gone away. And he's going to go and betray him. And he goes out into the garden to pray, taking his disciples with him. And so he now withdraws from them about a stone's throw away, kneels down and prays. And listen to what he says. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And here we have a life of service and ultimate submission. The shadow of the cross is very heavy at this point. The reality of being the sin bearer is weighing him down. Look at verse 44. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That is a phenomenon which has been recorded in medical literature, and it can happen in times of extreme or intense stress. The agony that was weighing upon him was heavy and it was severe. There was a sense in which he wanted this cup not to come to him. If there was another way, could it be found? And yet he says, not my will, but thine be done. In Philippians chapter 5, we have a similar description of the submission and the obedience of Christ to his Father. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see there his obedience. He doesn't react and argue. He doesn't make his demands felt. He doesn't come with all kinds of anger or opposition to what was before him. There's no blame game taking place. He honored his Father. Your will be done. And so as we think about this command, it's very serious. Because the way in which we react and respond to our earthly parents will bear some image and some reflection of how we think about our Heavenly Father. How we react to our parents that have loved us and given so much for us, that will shape how we react to other people and how we interrelate with them. And so honouring our father and our mother is very serious. And yet if we do, there is great promise applied to it. And so as we draw to a close, we'll read once again this command, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee.